KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 19 degrees. We look for skies to be partly cloudy today with a high of 34. Winds northwest at 20 to 40 miles per hour this morning, diminishing during the day. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Officials say a dental student is the first COVID-19 case reported on the University of Iowa campus in Iowa City. University officials say a patient seen by the student when the student was symptomatic has been notified, as have other students with whom he came into contact. Officials said the dentistry student doesn't live in any residence hall and is in isolation off campus. A campus message sent Thursday said the dental college has intensified its disinfection efforts. Also on Thursday, Governor Kim Reynolds announced the state COVID-19 total had risen to 44. The state hygienic lab in Iowa has the capacity to conduct about 800 COVID-19 tests and has set up three shifts round the clock for operations at the lab. State officials are discouraging widespread testing, however, partly because healthcare workers conducting the tests must use personal protective equipment, or PPE, like face masks and gloves, which are in short supply. Dr. Caitlin Padotti is the state medical director.
What we're talking about is making sure that we're helping healthcare facilities understand, the best ways to use the supplies they have.
State public health officials have asked Iowa contractors and others who had protective gear, like masks, to donate those items to hospitals and healthcare facilities. But Adi said there's a high demand globally and nationally for those supplies.
We've helped our partners be forward thinking and thinking about ways to make prudent use of the supplies that we have, thinking about ways to provide supplements when we can, and just wanting to be very careful and thoughtful about how we use all of our healthcare resources.
Once production of masks, gloves, and other protective gear ramps up under President Trump's use of the Defense Production Act, Governor Reynolds said she'll channel orders for those critical medical supplies through the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
But they've encouraged every governor and every state to utilize the private sector as well.
State officials are assessing the supply and demand for these items daily, according to Reynolds.
It allows us to identify the private sector industry that can step up and also play a role in helping us provide this equipment.
As for COVID-19 tests, the Iowa Department of Public Health recommendations limits tests to hospital patients, to healthcare workers and with symptoms after being around a COVID-19 patient, and to those who have had direct contact with a person confirmed to have COVID-19. Iowans who have returned to COVID hot spots like China or Italy may also be tested if they show symptoms. Dr. Padotti said widespread testing is not recommended, though, because most people with COVID-19 have mild symptoms and should isolate at home, rest and drink fluids just as one would with a cold.
When we do a test in somebody, we want to make sure we're doing it because the result means something, because it means we're going to do something differently. Now, if we come to a place where resources change and where, maybe there's a medication that we might have available or where there's an action that's going to be different, then we may adjust accordingly.
Iowa now has 44 confirmed cases of COVID-19, 25 of them women, 19 of them men. Nearly half are over the age of 60. Officials in Guthrie County said the Guthrie County Sheriff's Office and Courthouse are closed to the public while the COVID-19 emergency is in place. Authorities say the Sheriff's Office will still be staffed 24/7 and calls for service will be handled, but the Sheriff's Office will not be taking care of permits to obtain or renew permits to carry or permits to purchase until further notice. The Sheriff's Office also will not have any visitation on Thursdays until further notice. The change went into effect this past Wednesday and is intended to help protect the staff and general public from the spreading of the COVID-19 virus. If you request a deputy for a call of service at your residence, be sure and let the dispatcher know if you've been ill or have a fever. That, of course, is to ensure the deputies use precautions to keep safe and with the health of the risk of spreading COVID-19 virus to others. The Sheriff's Office would also like to urge everyone to stay home and use all the precautions to help in not spreading the virus. They will still be available by calling 641-747-2214 in Guthrie County for all non-emergencies. If you have any questions, contact the Sheriff's Office. A new survey of bankers in rural parts of 10 Plains and western states suggests they expect the economy to slow down over the next few months as the nation deals with the coronavirus outbreak. The overall index for the region fell to 35.5 in March from February's healthy 51.6 reading. Any score below 50 suggests a shrinking economy. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss said 61% of the bankers surveyed expect the measures to be taken to fight the coronavirus to lead to a recession. Well, the Atlantic School District's Board of Education met Thursday morning to act on a pandemic pay resolution for both hourly, non-exempt, and contracted salaried employees. Both resolutions passed. Additional details were not immediately available. The meeting was supposed to have been conducted electronically live on a YouTube channel, but technical difficulties prevented that from happening. A video of the meeting was expected to have been posted on YouTube as soon as possible. Officials at the AHSTW school district yesterday said on a social media post that due to the potential illness facing us, we're going to move prom to Saturday, June 13th. We understand the ACT makeup is also on that date and hope that you can plan accordingly. The district said we've also looked for an alternative date for graduation should we have to change it. And they've identified Sunday, June 7th as the possible alternative date. Now keep in mind, a final decision has not been determined for graduation at this point. And remember that this is a fluid situation and may change with new information that comes out. And officials with the AHSTW district say they will continue to monitor information and update you if a change to graduation will be necessary. A Riverside Community School District Superintendent Dr. Tim Mitchell reports the district has been approved for free meals during the COVID-19 school closure. Meals, including breakfast and lunch, are available at four distribution points each school day from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. If a person wants a meal delivered, call 712-249-7312 and they can be delivered to your home. The cost of the meals is free for all children in the Riverside Community School District from ages birth to 18 years of age. And this is a grab-and-go service. The menus will consist of a fully reimbursable meal. The four distribution centers will be Oakland Elementary School, Riverside Middle School, High School, Carson Elementary School, Post Office in Macedonia on Main Street, and you can find out more information about where exactly you need to go in the same story on our news page. On Monday, March 23rd, school meal distribution in Riverside will transition to once per week distribution for each Monday of the week. All children birth to 18 years of age will receive enough food to have five breakfasts and five lunch for the entire week beginning on Monday. Well, police in Creston say the driver of a Ford Mustang reported possible unknown injuries following a collision Thursday night at Highway 34 and Laurel Streets in Creston. 27-year-old Dakota Colburn of Creston was traveling east on Highway 34 at around 7:50 p.m. when his car was struck by a 2000 Chevy van that was traveling south on Laurel Street. The driver of the van, 46-year-old William Parmeter of Kent, told police he ran the intersection red light because his accelerator was sticking. An investigation determined the vehicle's floor mat was messed up under the pedals. Damage from the collision amounted to $7,000. There were no citations issued. And the Cass County Auditor's Office yesterday said the November general election will feature at least one contested township race. Keith Nelson filed nomination papers Wednesday for the Edna Township trustee, a nonpartisan position. Earlier, we told you that Dan Schreier had filed for the same post. The general election filing deadline is today at 5 p.m. That's a check of the news this hour, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.